are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
We are speaking all things grace and justice. Woo! Grace and justice. So grace and justice are two concepts that can sometimes seem at odds, yet they play important roles in various aspects of human life, including ethics, law, and spirituality. While grace and justice can sometimes seem in tension, there are efforts to find a balance between the two, particularly in ethical and legal contexts. Is grace an act of justice, or is justice the result of grace? Hey, Kuning, it's a lot. We are joined on the line by my pastor, Pastor Chiwanda, to help us explain. Are the two same, or they're two? Hey. Because, okay, let me not put my own view on this one. Let the pastor come through and help us. Pastor Chiwanda, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm all right. How are you?
I am very good, Mfundiswami. I hope you, when I leave here today, you would have settled me on this one.
I can see you are excited about this one. Hey,
I am, Mfundisi. I am, you know. You know why? Because the way I understand grace and justice, for me, yes. I think, okay, where there is grace, then the justice, well, I think maybe with the, I confuse it with the judgment part of the justice. Okay. Because for me, if you have grace, there's no need for all this justice. But if, you know, you are handed down your judgment and then the justice is carried out, then it means we don't need grace. So that's my own confusion, Fundis. I know you will help us.
It's very interesting the way you're putting it.
Yeah.
Now I'm ready.
Indeed, Mfundiswami, before we start officially, so I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
Myself or somebody there?
Yes, you, Mfundiswami, you can pray.
Oh, me praying, okay. Father in heaven, we want to thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to discuss deep things about yourself. We want to pray in a very special way that you assist us to understand grace and how it relates with justice. Guide us with the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, looking at these two concepts, grace and justice, do they have a relationship? Do they work together, or they're just two separate concepts that do not intersect?
I like the question. Let me answer it this way. When you talk about grace, we agreed that you're not talking about anything human. You're talking about something divine.
Okay.
Grace belongs to God. He is the one who bestows it on us. Actually, he redeems us, he delivers us, he saves us by grace without any input from ourselves in terms of works, but by faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace. So justice is righteousness. In simple terms, justice is righteousness. So if justice is righteousness, then God is the owner of justice.
Okay.
Because he is just. Because he is just. His commandments are just. His laws are just.
Okay.
So because his laws are just, they are a more important laws than any other laws on the planet. The laws of God have justice inside them, or the righteousness of God built into the laws.
Okay.
In actual fact, those laws are the character of God itself. Because if you pick the Ten Commandments, we reduce them to two sentences.
Okay.
Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as you love yourself. When you do that, that's justice. It's finished.
Okay.
That's justice.
Okay.
Fair treatment. Fair treatment. There's no abuse. There's no fighting. There's nothing you can do if you love one another. That's it. You have done it. But we discovered that we are different.
Okay.
It's not natural for us to love one another. It's unnatural. It's abnormal to love one another. If we loved one another, we wouldn't have Gaza and Israel fighting that side.
Mm.
Iran, you know, with proxies. And then the United Nations, others helping this way, others pulling that side. And in the churches, in the churches, we wouldn't have people fighting in the churches.
Mm.
As I talk to you today, all churches in the world, including our own, have breakaways.
Yes, yes.
Some of the breakaways are broken by themselves. Some of the breakaways, we break them ourselves.
Mm.
Why? Because we are not loving.
Hmm.
There's no unity amidst us. There's no fairness. There's so much hypocrisy.
Hmm.
So much doing things secretively. So much separatism. You know?
Hmm.
Machinations. Let's do this so that one doesn't do this. If we do this, that one will fall. Let us make him fall. There is nothing that we are doing that is out of love.
Hey.
That is out of love. Nothing.
Mm.
I once disappointed a church in a certain place. I told them that all we are doing in this church is drama.
Hi, Mfundisi.
That's what I say. And they were very angry with me. They were very angry with me. They said, Pastor, how did you preach? I said, I told you we are doing drama here.
Mm.
You started to preach, you're dramatizing.
Mm.
You started to sing, you're dramatizing. You started to do Sabbath school quarterly, you are dramatizing.
Mm.
You are not doing right. You know, righteousness, justice is humble.
Mm.
Righteousness and justice is very humble because it is the character of God Himself. He's just.
Mm.
And you know, justice doesn't budge, it doesn't twist. It is straight. It stands on principle. Love God. And there'll be four commandments there. Do not have any idol. Do not mention the name of your God in vain. Do not do images, not have create images, and then keep the Sabbath. Those four are principles of justice in terms of loving God. The other six are honor your father and mother. Do not steal, do not commit adultery, and all that. Up to do not covet anybody's anything. It's those six. They are love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Mm.
That's justice.
Yep.
It is simple terms, my sister. That's justice.
Mm.
Justice. Because if we do that, we are just. But we discovered that we are not like that. We are not loving. We are not loving. We are in problems. We are in problems. So, to answer your question in brief,
yes,
grace and justice must be one and the same thing from the throne of God.
Yep.
From the throne of God. Because the one who has grace is also the one who is just.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I would put it.
We can end the Shomfundis. You've spoken.
You make me laugh.
You
put it that way.
Mfundisi, I've noted something, you know, throughout the years, but today I feel it being re-emphasized. So when we were at worship today, because we do go to a worship there by the hot quarters
in the morning.
Yes. So I think we are on Jeremiah chapter 3. Yes, we're on Jeremiah chapter 3. And one of the pastors, when he was commenting on what is being said on that particular chapter, he said that we are doing religion. We are not connected to God. You know, we have grudges, we have hate, we have all of these things. And he was like, we even stand in front of people and give devotions and preach and everything else, but we are doing religion. We are not,
we are evil.
You know, so when now you come through and say, There is no love. It's an impossible thing. We don't even know what that is, you know. We are doing drama. And I'm like,
this is a drama.
I see the connections connecting, Fundis.
Amen. Amen.
Because this thing was said in the morning in a different way. Mm. And you are also coming through. You're saying it in a different way. I'm like, Holy Spirit, I see you.
The Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit. My sister.
Hi.
Now you know what I'm thinking now.
Mm.
You had a question.
Yeah.
Are justice and grace at odds?
Yes.
I brought you an answer to say, no, they are not at odds.
Mm-hmm.
At the throne of God, they are not at odds.
Yes.
Grace and justice in the heavenly sanctuary are not at odds.
Mm.
Grace and justice in the person of Jesus Christ, they are not at odds.
Mm.
Grace and justice in the children of God, those who are born again, they are not at odds.
Mm.
Grace and justice at the cross, they are not at odds. They are kissing each other. They are kissing each other. Grace and justice are kissing each other at the cross.
Mm.
But when you go to Sinai, when you go to Sinai, grace and justice are not kissing each other. Because God is righteous at Sinai.
Yep.
But Moses and his group are wicked. Even after God places the Ten Commandments, the two tables of stones in the hands of Moses. As he goes down the mountain, he hears those noises and discovers that Aaron, his brother, was leading in idol worship. A calf was there, which they were dancing around and worshiping it. Right at Sinai, at the holy mountain.
Mm.
You see? So I'm trying to say, when people try to keep the commandments of God outside Jesus,
yep,
they become more murderous than the devil. They become more wicked than Satan himself. And Satan is shocked and surprised at the wickedness of some people because they are more wicked than the devil himself.
Yeah. Yep.
Because they try to do right when there is no grace which they have accepted to help them do right.
Mm.
So they continue to dramatize like the Pharisees.
Yane. Mfundisi. When now we understand that grace and justice, they work hand in hand, right? Is it possible now to balance grace and justice in a case of wrongdoing, in a case of bad behavior? Like someone walked into the house, they shot everyone or they killed someone. Now I must apply grace. Hi, Boganjani. You know, so
what do I do?
You know, so how do we balance grace and justice in a case where someone has violated me? You know, how then now do we balance that?
I was thinking of Jesus. Do you know that man was God? He was God and he was man at the same time, but he came down and lived among evil people.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was among us, the way he dispositioned himself, the way he conducted himself, was so humble, so approachable, that even sinners were flocking to him.
Mm.
You know? Violent sinners, they were flocking to him and listening to him.
Mm.
But when he mixed with the people of religion, the ones he was born with, they became very violent to him.
Mm.
They were up to killing him.
Mm.
And he even told his disciples that, these brothers of mine, they're going to kill me.
Mm.
I'll die. So I wanted to say, for us to balance in wrongdoing and so on, I thought that we should go to Gethsemane.
Okay.
Because when we get to Gethsemane, you find that this man who is God is kneeling to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Is kneeling to pray. So I'm trying to say to you that we need to live a prayerful life, not out of trying to get things, blessings and so on, but to get connected to God, to get connected to God. So that when they are coming to kill me, they should be coming to deal with the God that is in me. You get the point? They have broken into my house. They have taken hold of my wife. They have taken hold of my children. They are taking hold of me. There must be God in me for me to respond in the best possible way to that thing.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how I'm going to behave.
Yes.
I can't tell you that I'll keep quiet. I'll sit it down. I will not pick a weapon to retaliate. I'll be like Jesus. I can't tell you that because I don't know. That thing you are talking about, it's very hostile. It has come in a hostile way. Adrenaline is rising. I don't know what to do. I am shaking and so on. Maybe I've been, adrenaline has strengthened me. Is making me retaliate like David? I don't know. But all I want to say to you is that when people come to me to kill me, they must be coming to deal with my God. They should not just be dealing with me as a such. As a such. Because if they deal with me as such, there may be bloodshed there. Bloodshed by myself. I'll be shedding blood because I'm reacting without God in me. But probably the Lord should teach me what to do when such things happen. I was saying, number one. Number two, I was thinking that we should be stupid for Jesus Christ.
I was about to say, whoa, put this, whoa, whoa, okay. So I was happy I held myself till you finished the sentence.
I'm thinking that we should be stupid for Jesus Christ. Because he says to us, when somebody forces you to do something, if he says, I want you to carry this 1 mile, Jesus says, you should ask, is it possible for me to carry for you two miles, 2 kilometers? If somebody comes and beats you on the cheek, Jesus says, give him the other cheek and say, can you do the other cheek? That's Jesus speaking. I'm being abused. People are meting their injustice on me. But Jesus says, calm down, calm down, calm down. Submit to them. Let them do what they want to do on you. Take your body and place them in their hands to say, do as you have chosen. That's what Jesus is saying. And he says that in Matthew chapter 5. He says, don't fight with the people. Submit to their fighting. If they must kill you, let them kill you. Because you are not the first to be killed. There were prophets that were killed innocently. That's what he teaches. So for me to be able to practice what Jesus has said at the time when people are violating me, my sister, I need Christ to be inside my life. So in some places when the behavior is so harmful, you need also to seek help. Because if you are just alone and these people are powerful, you may need to call somebody and say, hey, my friends, I'm in trouble here in my house. Something is like happening like this, like this, like this. If it's something that is happening during the day or it will take time to happen, you can also refer to friends to say, hey, what should I do? There is this development. It may crush me one of these days. And people can give you advice. But also, you should be able to deter harm, to remove harm, if possible. And you may need you may need other people to assist you in that. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, as far as the responding to such things, be like Jesus. Be like Jesus. If you follow him in Gethsemane, if you follow him at the judgment halls where he was going, Pilate, Herod, Caiaphas, they were pushing him around. If you follow him to the cross and see him on the cross, you will just humble yourself and say, ah, people, I was not ready for violence, so I don't know what I should do. You have come? You want to kill me? If you couldn't kill me, that would be fine. But if you choose to kill me, that's okay, also fine.
Pundisi, maybe you can expatiate, because I know towards the end of this answer, you know, you did say that, you know, speak to people, pray and everything else, right? There is a listener who commented saying, but Mfundisi, what you're saying is very hard. It's very hard, Mfundiswam, because I've been hurt. I'm hurt, Mfundiswam. How do I do it?
That's a very important question. How do I do it? There is a place where you asked in that, in the, almost the same. You said, can grace mitigate feelings of anger, resentment in the face of injustice in a relationship? Yes. It's very hard, so hard that it can't happen. You can't do it. Because Jesus said, on your own, you can do nothing.
Okay.
Jesus said that. I think it was John 15, verse 5. It says, on your own, you can do nothing. And I was asking other people this other day, how much is nothing? I discovered that any negative number, any infinite number on the number line going negative words, any infinite number to the negative is not nothing. It's something. But Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. That's not zero, because zero is something. And it's not anything negative, because anything negative is something. But without Jesus, we can literally do nothing. So Paul says, John 2 verse 20, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ.
Yeah.
And the life that I now live, I no longer live myself, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. My sister, if Christ lives in you, do you have anything to fear? If Christ lives in you, do you have anyone to fear outside you? If Christ lives in you, do you have anything to worry about? Really? What is it? When Christ is inside you, the very King of heaven is inside you. You will simply look at him and say, huh? What happened to the three boys in Daniel when this Nebuchadnezzar was so angry with them for refusing to bow down to those to that image? The guy said, ah, but King, we shouldn't talk about this. If you have chosen to throw us into that fire, please do it now. Don't waste your time. Just take us into the fire and that'll be it. And he did that. And you know what happened. The man we are talking about, the man we are calling Jesus, came inside the fire. And when he came inside the fire, he made the fire harmless.
When this is the question that came through. Hey.
But now, it's not only that. Take Jesus himself. He was crucified. Take Peter. He was crucified, embedded with his head down. Take Paul. He was killed. He was destroyed. Take Stephen. He was stoned. And you know, when Stephen was being stoned, his teeth being broken, his head being crushed, his whole body being crushed with those stones, the young man, Stephen, says, I see heaven open, and I see my Lord Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of the Father on high.
Yeah. Yep.
Look, my daughter. I'm calling you my daughter. I don't know your age, but I think you are my daughter.
I am your daughter, Mfundi.
Look, my daughter. Look, my daughter. And the daughter of God as well. Look. Stephen is being buried under stones that are crushing his life. Forget about his wife. Forget about his children. Forget about his relatives. Forget about his friends. Forget about his church. Forget about his position in church. He was the president of the General Conference by then. But he is being crushed to pieces, or being crushed to mortar. And he says, as I die right now, my eyes have been opened to a greater vision. And I am seeing my Lord. I am seeing my Lord while I bleed. I'm seeing my Lord while I breathe last. I'm seeing my Lord at the right hand of the Father. You know, a few weeks ago, I was preaching about seeing the glory of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
We must be able to see the glory of Jesus Christ even when we are being killed.
What a difficult.
You know where it is going to be difficult?
Mm-hmm.
When you are at Sinai, not at Golgotha.
Hey!
If you are at Golgotha, what are you going to see? The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And he is what? He is dying for you. But if you go to Golgotha, I mean, if you go to Sinai. There you see lightnings there. Thunderings there.
What is it?
If we go by our works, our own work, our own works and our own efforts, we have lost the battle in the great controversy. If we go by our own works and our own efforts, we have lost the battle in the great controversy. But if we go by the mind of this one, who did not count it something to be grateful for him to remain with God, but decided to come down here and take the likeness of a sinful human being in order that he may save us. And he came and said, I told us that I'm humble, I'm meek. Come unto me, for I am humble, I'm meek. Take my example, be like me. And you know, when he tells us to be like him, he means he will make us like him. He will make us like him. Yes. So my answer is, be balanced in Jesus.
Yes.
Balance grace and justice in Jesus. And let Jesus balance his grace and his justice in you.
Mpundisi, as we wrap up, there is a comment that has come through here on our WhatsApp line.
What is it saying there?
So they are saying here, good day, Pastor. If I react violently, yet I know the Bible doesn't teach us to be violent, do I grieve the Holy Spirit? Can we say that it is an unforgivable sin? This one is
my answer. My answer. God is very understanding.
Okay.
Is very loving. By the time you react violently to violence, definitely you have acted unlike Christ. You have acted in a way that Christ would not have acted. You have acted in a way that Paul did not act. You have reacted in a way that Peter did not react. You have reacted in a way that Stephen did not react. You are reacting in accordance with your own selfishness. You wanted to give it back. You wanted to take the justice of God in your hands. And pay back and pay back the evil that somebody has done to you. But the Bible tells us that do not give back, do not retaliate. The Bible is very straightforward. Do not retaliate.
Mm.
Let them harm you because God will bless their harming you.
Mm.
Don't retaliate. Don't fight with anybody.
Mm.
Don't fight with anybody because your God has told you not to fight.
Mm.
There was a time God wanted, told people to fight in the Old Testament. Do you know why? He was teaching them his justice.
Mm.
That you are wrong, you die. You commit adultery, you die. You steal, you die. So he was telling them that the wages of sin is death.
Mm.
If you don't want to die, go and give a sacrifice at the temple there.
Mm.
Because that blood which you shed there will give you forgiveness.
Mm.
Or run to the 60 cities of refuge. You remember the 6 cities of refuge? You run to those cities and go and be enveloped where God has chosen.
Mm.
Otherwise, when you are in the course of running, you have not reached the city, they should kill you.
Mm.
They should kill you. So he ordered killing in those days because he was teaching the principle of you sin, you die.
Mm-hmm.
Because he wanted to tell us that there's somebody who didn't sin, but is going to die for you.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Mm-hmm. The listener, my pastor,
so maybe,
is...
Mm-hmm. Maybe today, we should not be thinking of retaliating. I know that there are Seventh-day Adventists all over the world who are buying guns in order to prepare for
thugs.
And I know that there are pastors also who go around with guns because they wanted to be able to protect themselves. My suggestion would be ethically, you could be right. Legally also, you could be right because your gun is licensed.
But I'm trying to say to you,
try to trust your life in the hands of God. Try to trust your life in the hands of God.
Mfundis. On that one, you have can I please officially text you where we're going to come and speak about this on Bible Perspective? It's an hour-long program on a Friday because...
You are welcome.
Mpundisi, thank you for today. I believe that we have
God
exhausted in terms of grace and justice. And then tomorrow we are wrapping it up. Thank you so much, Mpundiswami, for coming through. Have yourself a blessed day.
God bless you.
Amen.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.